The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome the brothers. Those of you who got this link on your phone, those are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And if I text you the link on your phone, I thank God for you. Thank God for listening. And I hope something is said tonight that would encourage you. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Tonight, we're going to continue a conversation. We're going to be talking about spiritual growth, how important it is in the lives of men, as for us, as husbands, fathers, and sons, as men of God, as we are called to lead in the home, lead in the family, and lead in the community, that our spiritual growth, and how do we measure that, and what does it look like? I mean, we understand that all people, everyone, it grows differently and receives differently, but in the long run, in the big picture of it all, we're all to grow in the things, in the knowledge of Christ. So today, our Pastor George Sharp is going to be joining us with a conversation, and we're going to talk about spiritual growth, and also we're going to touch a little bit on discipleship today. Amen? So again, I appreciate you. If you receive this text for this episode, please take the opportunity to share it with a brother, some men in your circle. Some brothers you know might want to hear it as a word of encouragement. Amen? Well, I'm open with prayer, and we'll get right into the program, into the discussion tonight, or today, no matter what time you're listening to this. Amen. Father God, first of all, we say thank you. Father, we come to you with grateful hearts, God. We come to your throne of grace, oh God, just saying thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile us back to you. Thank you, God, for our healing, oh God. for those that you whose lives you have touched for sicknesses in their bodies, Lord God. Father, we thank you, God, for salvation. We thank you for changed heart and renewed minds, Lord God. We thank you for our children, our grandchildren, God. We thank you for those in our church family and our biological family, God. We thank you for the body of Christ, oh God, that we are to come together and to encourage one another, Lord God. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, oh God, and that connects us and binds us together, God. Father, we ask today, oh God, that you would have mercy on those. Mercy on those who have not known you yet, Lord God. Those who have not heard the gospel, God. That the unsaved, the unbeliever, today would be the day of salvation, Lord God. Father, I pray for the church, oh God, the church leaders, the pastors, the elders, and all those who labor behind the scenes, oh God, to do ministry, oh God. Father, we're praying for those in prisons and in hospitals, praying for those who are living on the street, oh God, even in the midst of the weather, in the midst of their circumstances, that they are also souls that you are concerned about, Lord God. So, Father, we just say thank you right now. Thank you for being God. We ask you continue to bless us, cover us, and strengthen us, Lord God. Father, we ask, oh God, today, the special blessings, God, over the leaders, oh God, over those in authority, oh God. We're praying for their wisdom, God. We're praying for their hearts, oh God, will be turned by you, Lord God, in the direction that needs to guide and lead us, oh God, at all levels of government and authority, from the manager to the mayor to the city council to the president to the Congress. And, Father, we do not want to forget, God, those all over the world, God, who are suffering for your name, those that are being persecuted for your name, that those who are just struggling with a word, with just a word, just one Bible for 10 people, but there's a word that's being put out in all over the world that salvation can come to all men through your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what's everything that you are in control of everything. We give you honor, we give you glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, amen, gentlemen. Again, this is Christian Men's Talk, and this is our newest episode going out. Again, if you receive the text, or you receive, watch, listen to it on Facebook, at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page, or on Twitter, at Issues Men's Talk, we just encourage you to share the link with someone, pass it on to a brother, and just hopefully something, again, will be said today that will encourage your brother in his spiritual growth and in his discipleship. And again, and the gospel will always go forward for those who may not believe. This might answer a question or answer something on their heart that can be that one thing that they need to hear that will convert their heart, that will change their mind, that they will come towards Christ and surrender their lives. Amen? Amen. We also have a couple books here we're adding to the Issues Christian Men's Talk to our reading list. Two books that we want to recommend for those out there listening. First one is Stand Firm by John MacArthur. And this is it's about standing firm in our faith and who we are as Christ and as Christians and understanding and knowing that even in this world, even in this culture, even here in America, in this culture, that we ought to stand firm on the Word of God and in disciplines and the commandments of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ, that we can be salt and light. And we have to be able to stand firm. We have to know what we believe and why we believe it to be able to stand firm. So I could recommend the reading of this book. It's Stand Firm by John MacArthur. And the second book we want to share for encouraging tonight for the brothers out there, this is one, it's on the list. It's been on the list for a while, but I just want to be able to encourage someone. You might be looking for something to read on your vacation time or your time off or just for your own edification and spiritual growth. It's called The Man Code. The Man Code, Unlocking the Secret. And this talks about fellowship, about friendship, what it means about faith and friends and those in our circle and those who hold us accountable in our circle of influence. It's called The Man Code, and it's authored by Dr. Dennis Swanberg. It's Dennis Swanberg, The Man Code. I know you can get it on Amazon. You can find it at Christian Bookstore. Both of these books you can find at ChristianBookstore.com and on Amazon. And on John MacArthur, you can go to his website, and the book is there also. Amen? Amen. Well, again, tonight we're going to be talking about spiritual growth. I think this is like the fourth episode we talked about it. And tonight I invited Pastor George Sharps to join us from Jesus Lives Ministry, And he's going to help give us some wisdom and some insights as we discuss this tonight about the importance of spiritual growth in the man's life. And what does it look like, and how do we achieve it, and what do we, and how do we get there? Because again, spiritual growth is something that, you know, in, as the body of Christ in the church, we have to be able to see that we are being transformed, converted, and being renewed, and over the process of time, you know, it is a process, and we all move through the process at different, I'll say this, at different speeds. But we all are called to grow spiritually. And as I said in the previous segments, episodes, it's not about being ordained as a pastor, deacon, elder, whatever. It's not about the title. It's about our spiritual growth and our growth in Jesus Christ and being and maturing in the things of God and growing in our relationship with Jesus. So tonight we're going to move forward. First, let me say good evening. Pastor Sharps, can you hear me, sir? How are you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm great, sir. And yourself, son?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you, Pastor, for taking time out and joining us tonight and being able to share some insight and encourage the brothers out there listening. Well, let me start. We're going to go jump right in. When we talk about spiritual growth, how important is spiritual growth in the Christian, in the life of a Christian man? What do you say, sir?
Well, actually, spiritual growth is very important for the believer, and, you know, we should be growing continually. You know, we should not be in the same state that we are in and growing when Christ first saved us. You know, I'm thinking about what I kind of taught on a couple of weeks ago concerning Jacob. Now, we saw in the Word of God how Jacob started off on the wrong road. And Jacob's heart was hard, and he was a trickster and a deceiver. But as time go on, we saw how God began to change Jacob's life. And now we see in the scripture, and we hear many people talk about, and even ourselves and God talk about, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because there was a change in his life. When I think about being a disciple for Christ, to be a disciple that Jesus Christ have called us to be, there's two things that must take place first. And the two things is, the first one is we must believe in Jesus Christ. And then the second thing that take place that must happen is faith. Those two things must take place in order to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Amen, sir. You know, I agree. It starts with our faith. It starts believing in the gospel that we hear and that we've been taught. You know, and when we say, well, we're going to step back, and we're going to talk about believing. Because as you know, Pastor, you know, we have evidence of folk who say they believe and they've been in the church, they've been quote-unquote in the church for a while, but it seems like their lives are not being really transformed, or they're struggling with that growth. Because like you said, that we grow, there's going to be an outward change. We all understand the changes, it starts internally, but then there's going to be an outward change. And we talk about spiritual maturity. You know, one of the things it talks about a pruning and sinning less and being transferring our thinking and our mind. What do you think about that, sir?
Yeah, that is so true, and that's an area where if we're not careful as being believers that we really don't want to go through, it's the pruning process. But it's very important that we accept the pruning. The pruning is not to destroy. The pruning that Christ does for us is to help us to follow him and love him more and obey his word and trust him. It's not to destroy us. We shouldn't get the thought where, oh, why is God allowing this to happen to me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why not us? When we think about what Jesus went through, I mean, he went through a lot. And then let me go a little farther, not use Jesus, because somebody may say, well, it was easy for Jesus to go through it. But no, it wasn't. But let me use somebody that we can relate to that wasn't Jesus. Let's keep in mind what Paul went through. Paul went through a lot. And in the book of Corinthians, he talks about a lot of stuff he went through. I mean, there was time Paul almost lost his life. There was time they left him for dead. But Paul stayed focused on Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to do. And you will find out the closer you get to Christ and the more we trust him, when the storms come, we will find ourselves still standing. We won't be blown away and drift away because of the storm.
Amen, sir. I like that example because, again, when we read, you know, when we get into the Word of God, praise the Lord. That's Sharps. Can you hear me?
Yeah, are you back? I lost you. I lost you there.
Yeah. We had technical problems over here. I'm glad. Thank you for holding on. Thank you for holding on. Amen. Amen. Well, we're back. This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We had some technical issues here. We're doing this live talk here. But we're back, and we're locked in now. Hopefully this won't happen again. Amen. But anyway, the enemy won't get no glory tonight. We're going to move forward. Amen. 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 Well, Pastor, what I was saying, I'm not sure how much you heard, but when we talk about spiritual growth, I wanted to talk about a little bit about the Holy Spirit living within us when we get saved, in that moment of our conversion, of our moment coming to faith, and what role the Holy Spirit within us, what role is that having, how are we to respond to the Holy Spirit? What do you say, sir?
Yes, that's a good question. Actually, we have to take in consideration that when Jesus saves us, the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit's job is to teach us about the things that is in line with the Father. The Holy Spirit's job is to direct us and lead us the right direction. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us continually. He's speaking to the believer. But sometimes what happens is, even though the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and telling us the right decision to make, the right things to do, because we have a free will, if we're not careful, we can ignore what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Let me use an example. Say, for instance, I have children, and some of you who may be listening on right now, you may have children or you may have grandchildren. Well, there are times that you and I may tell them something and we know it's the right thing for them to do, but because they have a free will, sometimes even though we tell them, they chose not to obey what we're telling them. And so in doing that, it can cause them problems. Well, let's take it into the spiritual realm. The Holy Spirit's job is to guide us, to direct us, to let us know what is right, what is wrong. But we have to be mindful and we have to be careful in making sure that we're following what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. And that's why I'm a firm believer of this, that in any decision that we make in life, we should include Christ in it. A lot of times, folks make decisions, and sometimes those decisions is not made by the Holy Spirit. The decision is made sometimes by what we want to do. What do you think?
Yes, sir. You know, we do. Sometimes we blame God and the Holy Spirit for some of the bad decisions we make. I know that's a fact. But hopefully we can overcome that. But I think what you're saying is true. I mean, it's about submission to the Holy Spirit and about hearing the Spirit and being in a place where we are hearing what God says about all circumstances and situations. I mean, but you know, we have the book, we have the scriptures, we have those around us. And when we talk about you know, our circle of influence and the people we're around that God can use to speak into our lives, we all of that comes into play in how we see life and how we live this life and how we walk this thing out. And I think that's one of the things that we have to understand. Because the spiritual growth is, I think, you know, we have to on purpose pursue it as you pursue other things.
That's right.
You know, Pastor, because folk, you know, they want to go to college, they want jobs, they want careers, they want to get trained on it, they want to get certified and trained and all these things. So it's in us. But when it comes to the things of God, why do you think men struggle with that? That they don't put the same. Let me say it like this: why do you see that brothers may not put the same effort into the things of God as they do other things in their lives that they seek to achieve and be good in? What do you think? How do you see it, sir?
Yes, I think part of the reason of that is that because those would be things that we set our heart to do. And so it's more easier for a person to do those things than to follow what the Word of God said. See, we have to keep in mind the Word of God tells us and let us know that we have to sacrifice ourselves. I mean, that's what Jesus did. That's what his apostles did. They, to line up with what God was calling them to do, to be apostles, they had to die to self. And it's a wonder that you even brought that up. I want to read a scripture concerning how important this is, okay?
Go ahead, yes,
and it's
sir.
It's from Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to read verse 25 through 27. Again, Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 27. Listen what Jesus is saying to the people and to his disciples. Verse 25, it says, "Now a great multitude went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.'" See, Christ is calling us, the believer, to be different from those who don't know him. He has called us to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And how can we do that? We cannot do that without the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So I think part of the problem is that if we are not mindful about what we're doing, because now the Word of God helps us to do what is pleasing to Christ. But now you will realize and you all can understand how much I love Christ or how much Christ loved me by what I say and by what I do. Anything that a person loves, they spend quality time in it. They spend quality Amen. Time. Anything that's on our heart that we got a desire to do, we spend quality time in it. It's just like a lawyer. To be a good lawyer, he has to go to law school for 8 years and learn the law. If we want to be disciples of Christ and we want to be pleasing to Christ and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, then we must know what the Word of God says and then put it into practice. What do you think?
Amen. I agree, and that's I think that's part of it. As men of God, and then let me say this too, because this is ongoing. This is a life thing, because you know we remember how Paul ended his letters. You know he has not yet achieved, and Paul, you know, God used Paul mightily for evangelism, for teaching, for planting churches, but he also knew in himself he had not achieved all that God had for him. So, and sometimes we have to understand this as men, which I try to encourage the brothers, is this is an ongoing thing. You're never going to, you know, it's not like, I know we use the metaphor and I use the example of school and being certified and training, but this is an ongoing life training. Because trust, I believe this, I know you, Pastor, you've been around a while and we're about around the same age. Every season of life is different, and God has a plan, a purpose, and you need God for different things at different times in life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, but we have to stay as men of God. We have to first, I think we first have to establish, what do I want to call it? We have to establish a spiritual habit and start to do some things and start to submit and pursue the things of God. You know, so, Pastor, let me ask you this. You know, the spiritual growth aspect is what we're talking about here today in Issues Christian Men's Talk. It's expected of a believer. And I don't think a lot of brothers receive that. There's an expectation. God has an expectation for us to draw closer to him. Because even if we look at Scripture, we look at Jesus and the 12. He spent 3 years with them. And the Scripture tells about that. And Paul, I think he was, it's coming to me. And Scripture talks about him spending 3 years in Galatia, teaching, preaching the gospel, teaching to the people. So there was an expectation that they were going to come, because it was Paul that talked about babes. I don't have it in front of me, but it talked about where you should be. Oh, the Corinthians he was talking about, I believe. About there was an expectation to go from babe to mature. But then, you know, we struggle, and we see it. It focuses not on why, for whatever reason. I couldn't say why any man doesn't mature. But I think the first thing is we have to have a mind to and a heart to. What do you say about that, sir? To have that passion, and also the humility to submit to get to that place. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things where if we're not careful, that can cause a problem in a believer life. And that is submitting to the Word of God. If we look back over history, we will see and we can understand why the nation is in the trouble that we're in right now. Because a lot of folks have problems submitting. And so it caused a big problem. And one of the reasons why a lot of folks have problems submitting and why it become a battle to submit to the things of Christ is because what Satan did to Adam and Eve in the very beginning of the garden, when he used them to usher in sin. And so we see how that, you know, when you talk about the word submit, soon as you use the word submit, sometimes a lot of folks will throw up a wall. Soon you use that word submit. Because a lot of folks don't want to submit under authority. So, you know, they have no problem if they are the one in authority. Then they have no problem saying you should submit. But with some folks, they struggle with submitting, And this is what caused a lot of marriage to be destroyed. This is what caused a lot of families to be separated and not speaking to one another. This has caused a lot of friendship to depart and separate from one another. Because if we're not careful, we have a problem submitting. We have a problem submitting. And so we have to understand, though, that it's God that who sets up authority. It came from God. That's where it came from. It didn't come from man. Setting up authority and submitting came from God. And so if we see it like that, and still of looking at people, and still of fighting against people, we will understand that it's God that has put them in authority. If you don't mind, Dick, can I read something to you all again?
No, go ahead. You got it, sir. We got the hour, bro. We good. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to continue to stay with Scripture and allow us to see what the Word of God is saying. This is not about what Pastor Sharp thinks. This is not about what Dick and Thomas think. This is not about what you think or our opinion. This is about what Jesus Christ said. Now, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm just going to read a few verses concerning authority, okay?
Okay.
He said, Paul says, in Corinthians 13, starting with verse 1, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass. Now, Paul recognized where his authority came from. He knows actually come from Christ. He knows that. And Paul is one of the people that God used in a mighty way. We also know that. Now, but what I want to get to is in Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Paul said, let every soul be subject to the governor authority, for there is no authority except God, except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not eternal to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of the authority? To whom he is authority, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good works. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So the Word of God let us know that it's God who sets people in authority. And that's why we have to be mindful. We have to be careful. How are we treating someone who God allowed to be in authority? Now, does that mean if God puts somebody in authority that I'm gonna be in agreement with everything they might say or do? No, that's not what he's saying. If they're not telling us to go against the Word of God, if they're not telling us to go against the Word of God, then we should fall in line with them if they're in authority. And I think this part of the problem, again, within our society today, people have problems with authority. But I actually say, I'm making it personal now, how can I actually say that Jesus loved me and I love him, and I'm thankful that he died for me, but I'm not willing to spend time in his word, spend time in prayer, spend time amongst people who actually love God so they can encourage me and so they can help me, because, see, we need one another. When you try to play long ranger in this walk with God, you're going to be in some serious trouble, because God hasn't called us to be long ranger. God has called us to be believers and to be Christians. And so it's important that as men, we lead our family in a way that is pleasing to God. What do you think?
Amen. Amen, sir. You know, I believe I agree with what you're saying. You know, and I'm gonna shift right here. I'm gonna come back to you real quick, but I want to talk about, you talk about that authority, but I want to bring it back into the church. I want to bring it back into some brothers here, because I don't want to step on toes, but I want to stir something up in them. Amen. You're listening to It's Just Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and again, if you receive this episode, this link on your phone, if you're listening online, if you're listening on Facebook, I encourage you to share it with a brother. Share it with a brother. Also, I would invite any pastors and elders or folk brothers who want to come on and join the discussion or some of our discussion panels. You can always reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, at Twitter at Issue Men's Talk on Twitter, and also if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can send us a message there, tap the link and leave us a message and connect with us. Amen. Pastor, I want to go back to what you was talking about, because I know you've been a pastor a couple of years, and you know some folk, been around some folk, and you've been out there, amen? But let me say this. When we talk about that authority and men submitting to the authority within the body of Christ, to the pastors, you know, to the – well, I'll just leave it to the pastor, because, you know, we have different churches have different structures of leadership. But I'll just say this. Why do we find that a lot of brothers, I think that's what we're talking about, being part of a church and that submission, that men submit in all other areas of our life, starting with our job, our school, our sports teams, whatever organization we're part of, we submit to the authority and leadership structure that is there. You know what I'm saying? But now, when it comes to the body of Christ, I'm broad brushing, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but we have a problem with brothers who come into the church and want to submit to the pastor. And, you know, I get into this conversation sometimes and hear different things, but but why do we struggle with the authority within the body of Christ, especially when it comes to pastor, when it comes to Because again, you nobody makes you join a church or be part of a ministry, but if you're there, part of our maturity and knowing who we are, I just believe, is being able to submit to the men of God that God has put in your life for a reason, and that's where a lot of brothers struggle, especially brothers coming in from, you know, new converts or babes in Christ. I'm not saying they're babes in age. I mean babes in their spiritual growth and learning how to really submit to a pastor, a male pastor leader. What do you say about that, sir? And how can we help a brother understand, overcome that, or deal with it? What do you say?
Yeah, I think one of the first things that the brother needs to take in consideration and understand is that he's not actually submitting to just the pastor. And I think a lot of times that's where they miss it, because their focus is on what they see. Their focus is on the man of God. Mm-hmm. And if they truly love Christ and practicing what is right and want to be pleasing to God, they are submitting to God. And if they're submitting to God and they want to be pleasing to God, then they will have no problem submitting to the pastor. Sometimes a lot of folks come into fellowship with the wrong precept, and they look at things wrong, and because, keep in mind too, sometimes they're coming from out of the world. So they're coming in with the world mindset. So you know what the world teaches, right? The world teaches that I'm 3 times 7 plus. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. I don't think it's your pastor. Your pastor ain't going to tell me nothing. But this is what I have to say, and I hope they end this in a harsh way or a bitter way, because I would never want to do that. The Holy Spirit don't lead us to do that. But what I want to say is, if a person is at a fellowship and in a ministry and they can't submit to the pastor or the leaders in that ministry that's telling them what the words say, then they should leave that ministry. They should leave that fellowship. And let me tell you why I'm saying this. Because if they stay there with that mindset, it's just going to cause corruption in the ministry. See, this is what Judas did. Judas hung in there for a long time in the midst with the other apostles. He hung in there. But he had a problem accepting Jesus Christ as Lord. He had a problem with that. And we know what happened to Judas behind that, right?
Yes, sir.
So we have to understand, and we need to take in consideration, and I just want to get a little farther than what you were saying concerning the pastor. Not only the pastor, but any leader that's in the ministry that God have called to operate in that field, in that ministry, as long as they telling you what the words say and asking you to help out with what is lined up with the word, why should you get smart with them or reject or have a problem? I promise you all this. If you offer anybody $500,000, I promise you, no one would say to you, let me go and pray about it first.
Yes, sir.
Nobody's going to say that. But now,
right.
The scriptures say in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God. See, and that's the key. They have a problem because their thing is I'm submitting to a man.
Right.
But we see here in James chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your heart. You're double-minded. See, so James understood, and he was sharing with the people how we can be pleasing to God. So don't look at it as like, because this is what some people would say, son, and you probably have heard people say this before, and those of you on the air right now, you probably have heard people say this before. Well, I'm a man just like your pastor is a man. Your pastor ain't going to tell me what to do. He ain't going to tell me what to do. He might tell you what to do, but he ain't going to tell me what to do. And your pastor don't have nothing to do with my household. I'm in charge of this household.
Amen.
I run this household.
Amen. But that's the whole thing, you know. And I think it's like you said, people come into the body of Christ with the worldly mindset instead of coming into, again, what the gospel teaches. Because, again, those 12 men that Jesus had, them brothers wasn't soft. They wasn't, you know, without no integrity and they were not men. You know what I'm saying? But
that's right.
When they recognized who Christ was, you know, because I'll say this. I don't want to go through the whole thing, but I, to any brother out there, look at the 12 disciples and see what kind of men they were. But when Jesus called them, when Jesus chose them, they came under the submit because they realized there was something about him. They may or may not understood that who he was, but when he spoke to them in a way that they followed him and were able to submit to him, because they walked, if we read the scripture, they walked away from their lives. We know that some were fishermen, some was a tax collector, some of them was, you know, rebels, and, you know, they had some stuff going on. But for them, for Christ to come into their life, and then they would submit to him and follow him for the next 3 years and see the things he was doing and, you know, see how he was being treated, but yet they stayed and followed him. And I think even in this temple, 2021 we're in, we have to understand, like you say, you know, God has ordained certain men to lead congregations, and we have to come in that the pastor, it's not about the pastor, like you were saying. But then we have to, I think sometimes too, we as the church, we have to be like mindful to how we teach people about church leadership and how it really functions. Because you know, and I know, we've heard stories of people being manipulated by leadership too. You know, because we have false teachers and other things going on out there, and people being manipulated who have a heart to submit, but they submit to the wrong thing, because then they get into, you know, I'll say this to any brother out there. Again, I think you said it too. Is you follow a man as long as the man is not leading you away from the Word of God, and you have to know the Word of God to know that you're being led away from it. So that's where I see spiritual maturity is. If you don't know the Word, then you'll follow something that's not right. But we're called to grow in Christ, because that we can be used by God and be used in our local ministries. And that's my whole thing about spiritual growth, because there's things that we as men are called to do, or God wants to use us for. Not necessarily called, but God is going to use us for. But we have to be mature in our faith and who Christ is, and in our one-on-one personal relationship with God, that God can use us. You use Jacob for an example. You know, God had to do some stuff with Jacob. He had to break his thigh. He had to he had to do some stuff to get Jacob to do right. But and he has to do the same thing to us also. We have to pursue it. I believe as men of God, we have to make up in our hearts and make up in our actions and how we think that we want to pursue God. We want to be like Christ. We want to please God. And I think all that, some of it is supernatural by the leading of the Holy Spirit, but it's always about us being submitting, knowing that it goes back to when we come to faith. We have to know we're a sinner in need of a Savior. If you don't think you're a sinner and you don't need Christ, but you just want to hang around with Christian folk, that's a dangerous place. And I think however we present the gospel to folk, and however you and the brothers that are listening out there, however you might have heard the gospel, if you were not told that you're a sinner and you're destined for hell, I think somebody lied to you. They didn't give you the full gospel. But if you're listening now to this show, Issues Christian Men's Talk, I'll say that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Because if we don't, we are going to be cast into hell and live in eternity under the wrath of an angry God because of sin. So if you never heard that before, you heard it here. Now you got to do something about it. But I'm sorry. Amen. This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and I'm here with Pastor George Sharps of Jesus Lives Ministry. And we're talking about spiritual growth. And we're talking about spiritual growth in the life of men and how we, again, because we all started somewhere. We all heard the gospel. We all come to faith. But now the expectation, and to encourage you in this conversation, is to grow in the things of God, in your relationship with God, that you can live pleasing to God. Because if you can't, you know, the scripture says, you know, we're going to all stand before him, and we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful. And that, and there's a lot to that, that scripture. I know we use that a lot, but there's a lot to that. And but we have to, but I think anything, I want to encourage any man that's listening. You have to understand that you're going to stand before God, and he's going to know the truth. He's not going to ask you. Don't be deceived. This is not like court. He's not going to ask you. He's already going to know the life you live. He's already going to know. He's not going to want to hear your testimony. You know, Pastor, you know how our kids do. Well, you got older kids. I do, too. You know how they used to do. They used to have excuses and really thought it was working. And we knew that, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So just think about that. That's how God, that's how Christ is going to be. He may look at you and let you finish talking, but he already know. Just as us as fathers and parents, we already know, but we sometimes we let you keep talking because, you know, we don't want to be accused of not listening to what you're saying, even though it don't make no sense.
Yeah.
I'll say that. Amen. Well, Pastor, I'm sorry. I went down. It just came to me. But I do want to ask you, I'm sorry. I was getting off track here. I was losing my notes. But our spiritual growth. We all, Pastor, do you believe that we all have the power? I just want you to share that it's already in us to grow. It's not about, I want to say this, it's not about how well we read and how well we understand the King James and all these other things. It's about, it's a heart condition and how we pursue that thing. And I think that's the greatest thing that we have to encourage the brothers at. Are you pursuing the growth, the spiritual growth to get to where God, because there's a lot of tools out here. I mean, we can talk about that too, but it's a real heart issue. So how do we encourage the brothers to get the place in them that they want to grow in their relationship, because it's about the relationship with Christ? How do you say, sir? How do we encourage the brothers out there to want to get to that place that they want to know all that there is to know about God right where they are?
Yeah, that's good, because sometimes we can think, sometimes the thought will come that, oh, I'm not worthy enough, or I don't know enough. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand, those of you who are listening to this, God can use you. I want you to know that. It's not about how much education you have. It's not about how much money you have. It's not about how many degrees you have. It's not about none of that. It's about yielding to Jesus Christ and allowing him to direct and guide your path through his word. I want you to understand this as well. But sometimes folks ask me the question, how do I know the voice of God? How can I recognize the voice of God?
Amen.
Well, every time you read the word of God, you hear the voice of God.
Hallelujah.
Okay?
Amen.
And so we need to understand that. We need to take a hold of that. And men, I want you to understand as well, is that the Lord has called you and I to be the leader of our household. Men, so if we don't line up with the things of God, we can cause trouble come on our whole family. So it's very important that we allow Christ to see us for who we are. We don't have to try to be no one else. We don't have to try to fake this thing. You can allow the Holy Spirit to use you as he pleased, because we read in scripture where Peter and John, they said Peter and John was unlearned men.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying they didn't have no education. But
that's
they
right.
Say one thing we do know, they've been with Christ. Because the things they're saying, we know they've been with Christ. So it's not about how much you know. It's not about how much we know. It's all about Jesus Christ and yielding to him. And I promise you, if the Lord brought an old sinner like me, yes, sir, an old sinner like me, mm-hmm. if he could deliver me, then you have hope as well.
Amen.
Thank you all for listening.
Amen, amen. But, Pastor, you know, you're right, and that's the thing. You know, and like, again, I always hear Issue Christian Men's Talk, I always say, you know, the conversations and the brothers I bring on and we talk to, when we're not standing on pedestals, we're now holding ourselves up as the example, but we are telling you that what God can do, how God can transform, and to encourage you. You know, because you couldn't, because, again, I couldn't walk past your shoes, you couldn't walk my shoes, but God has redeemed us, can redeem us, and has redeemed us all. And that God can also, like Pastor said, there's a plan. God can use you. God wants to use you. There's a purpose. I say this all the time, you know, in the shows and the conversations we have. There's a soul out there that's only going to hear the gospel, and their soul is going to be saved because of you. You know, they're not going to hear Pastor Sharp. They may not hear this show. They may not hear all the TV preachers and all the great teachers out there. They may never hear them, but they're only going to hear you and want to hear your testimony, and then you share the gospel of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done in your life, that then they may come to the knowledge of him and be saved and understand what it means, what Jesus Christ's life means, and what it means, his birth, his life, his death, and the resurrection. All of that is the gospel, but there's a soul that only is going to hear it from you. Pastor, as we get ready to close, I want to talk about the evaluation, because every man has to be able to look at his own self and be honest with himself. And when I say the evaluation of our spiritual growth, no matter where you are in this, I don't care if you've been saved 6 months, 6 years, 5 years, 25 years, or you've been in a church, you know, we got some folk out here who was born in the church or whatever, that's fine. But to evaluate our spiritual growth, Pastor, I'm going to give you this, because I think it's the fruit. We know we talked about this in the Bible
yes,
study
sir.
A couple times, about fruit inspection.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I'm not going to want to inspect our fruit. We first have to begin by inspecting our own fruit. What do you say, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
We have to evaluate ourselves.
Yeah, and that's why God used Paul to say in the book of Corinthians that we need to examine ourselves, because when we examine ourselves, the Holy Spirit will allow us to see that we have some issues we got to deal with as well. And it will keep us from looking down on someone else. But we need to learn to examine ourselves, and then we need to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us to be good fruit inspectors. We need to be good fruit inspectors. And so when someone see you, when someone see me, they should be plucking some good fruit. Nobody likes a bad fruit. I don't care where we come from. Nobody likes a rotten fruit.
That's right.
So we know that Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, tell us about the fruit that we should be, that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. And that's where we have to go. You know, every one of us, brothers, every one of us, you and me, Pastor, you, whoever, we have to look and see, you know, where is the fruit in our lives? Are we different? Are we living different? Are we acting different? You know, are we really being transformed by the Word of God, the Word that we know? The Pastor mentioned it earlier. God is a gracious, loving God. He's not a taskmaster. He's going to hold trust. Jesus is going to hold us to the Word that we received. Because even if Jesus comes back today and you got saved on last Sunday, Christ got it. He got you. Because he's
Amen.
Going to be accountable to what you learned from today's what? Thursday. So if you got saved on Sunday, the word you heard on Sunday, if you applied that word, were faithful to it, God's going to hold you accountable to that word. So don't think God is going to hold you accountable to the whole of the Scripture that you didn't memorize all of it. I mean, some people try that, but that really don't mean nothing either. I'm sorry. Let me focus. But look at yourself. Are you increased in love? Are you increasing in joy? Are you increasing in patience? These are the characteristics. These are the fruit. Are you increasing in your faithfulness? I mean, let me say this to the brothers out there. Listen, are you increasing in faithfulness? I said this a while ago. I'm going to put it out there again this on this episode. There's 52 Sundays, and most people have Bible study once a week. So there's 52 Sundays, and there's 52 Bible studies a year. How many are you going to? That's you. That's checking your faithfulness fruit. I'm going to leave that, Pastor. Don't say nothing because, you know, some brothers are hang up on us right now. but that's it. But that's about the things of God, because if you are a man of, we are men of God, Bible study and the fellowship, the worship service, the being in fellowship one to another, being involved in ministry, you know, not necessarily, you know, again, being involved. Are we faithful to the ministry? Some of the other fruits. Are we growing in gentleness and self-control? Some of us, you know, we were outlaws. Are we better now, you know, in self-control when things don't go our way? These are all the things that God wants to do in us that people around us will see and then ask us, what's different about you? Or we act different, even in when it comes on our jobs, in our homes, in our communities, because all the things that happen to us, it happens to everyone, but it's about how we respond as Christian men that will make us stand out. I'll say it like that and bring it in that way. Pastor Sharps, I'm going to come to you right in a few minutes, and I'm going to give you the last comment and then close us out in prayer. For the brothers out there, I appreciate you. Again, if you got this on your phone and then you got the text, I text you the link and you got the link and you listen, I ask you to share it. Share it with your brother, share it with your son, share it with your uncle, share it with that brother that you're trying to reach, your unsaved friend, and let them just hear and let them meditate on some of the things that we said tonight. Hopefully that seed will be planted in their heart, and this will be that thing that they'll come to know Christ through the understanding of something that was said tonight by me and Pastor. Amen. And then you also can, you know, follow up with them and see what they thought and see where they are and what they received and what they heard. And then that's your opportunity for you to water. Amen. Amen. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to this show. Will be archived there, and all of our past shows are archived there. Also, we're on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. We invite you to go on the Facebook page. We have devotional links there. We have other discussions, other shows. And also, you know, if your men's group, a lot of churches are opening back up. Brothers, you know, your church is opening back up. You're getting your men's ministry back going. Let us know. You know, we can we'll put it out there. We'll open it up. We'll advertise it, you know, because as things start to open up, people start to go out again. You never know if the men's group's going on. We got some brothers drop in, because you never know when a brother may need to be around some men in a certain time in the season. So if you got something planned coming up for your men to gather, please go to the Facebook page, send it to me on Facebook, or send me the poster, the link, or whatever, and we'll post it there. Also, we post devotionals on the Facebook page. Just encourage your brothers where they are. Again, we have husbands, fathers, and sons. We have more in common than we are different, you know, and we can encourage one another through whatever we're going through. And before I turn it over to Pastor Sharps, let me just say this to any brother out there listening. No matter what's going on, no matter what test or trial, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And don't go back. Reach out. Reach out to Sue, a brother you know in Christ is going to pray with you and pray for you. But don't go back and don't give up, because God has a plan. And if you thought that coming to Christ was going to be the land of milk and honey and flowers and nice, I'm sorry, but stand. Just stand firm and reach out to someone. Pastor Sharps, thank you again for taking time out and being part of the discussion tonight and part of this episode. I'll give you the final closing, and then you can pray us out, sir. And again, thank you very much, and I love you. God bless you.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. And I just want to say thank each and every one of you that tuned in tonight to this broadcast. I truly thank God for you. And I want to say this to you as well. Sometimes things may seem a little tough. It may seem like you want to throw in the towel, but don't throw in the towel. And don't feel like this is something strange because you're feeling this way. Because the Bible tells us there was a prophet in the Bible named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had been preaching for 40 years. And it seemed like nobody was listening. Nobody was receiving what he was saying. And Jeremiah got to a point in his life. He was almost ready to throw in the towel. But because of the word of God, and because he had the word of God in his spirit, and the word of God and a relationship with God kept him from throwing in the towel. So I'm talking to you tonight. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what someone think about you. I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, and he gave his life for you. So I'm inviting you, fighter, what it may look like. Once again, thank you. God bless you all. I want to close out in prayer. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus. We truly thank you for tonight. We thank you for digging far, Father God. We thank you for how you use him to continue to be faithful to broadcasting and getting the words out to encourage men. Lord, I thank you for knowing that your word will not come back void. And Lord, I just lift each and every one up to you right now that was listening. And I lift those up to you that's going to be listening because others are going to be sending it out. Father, have your way. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your keeping power. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.